The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Well, we've been hearing in the news headlines overnight the harrowing unfolding of a Greek tragedy in which dozens of asylum seekers attempting to make landfall in Europe fell victim to the stormy waters off the coast. And in two separate incidents, dozens are believed to have drowned after their dinghies or boats capsized. We'll bring you an update on what is happening later on in the programme. But it is testament to our turbulent world that so many people are willing to risk danger and death to find a safe haven. The journey to Ireland for those coming here is obviously less hazardous, and there has been a huge increase in the number of people seeking protection in this country. Now, these are in addition to the expected influx of Ukrainian citizens who, as you know, have been given the right to live and work here. Barry White has been looking at these numbers. Barry, good morning.
Hey, Pat, good morning.
Now, the figures.
Yeah, firstly, let's look at the figures. So far this year, there have been almost 10,000 people who've arrived in Ireland applying for international protection. So by the end of the year, Pat, we could be looking at around 15,000 asylum seekers coming here in 2022. And per week, we're now seeing about 400 or 500 people coming here to seek international protection. And so far this year, the number of people seeking international protection here is five times what the figure was for this time last year. Now, we can point to COVID and the lack of international travel last year for this fivefold increase. However, this year's figure is still more than double the 2019 figure. In all of 2019, there were 4,781 applications, while in 2018, there were 3,674 people applying for international protection. So the almost 10,000 people who've arrived here this year is way above the 2018 and 2019.
And tell me this, where they're coming from. I mean, you're supposed to, if you arrive in Europe, stay at your first landfall. I mean, you know, we don't have many direct flights to Africa and so on. So how are they getting here and what are they saying when they arrive? Anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But that 10,000 people does not include Ukrainian refugees. So the government has got to find accommodation for 10,000 people.
Yeah, that's it. So the 10,000 asylum seekers who've arrived here this year does not include over 54,000 Ukrainian refugees who've arrived in Ireland to date. And the Department of Immigration have told me that the availability of accommodation to house international protection applicants remains a significant challenge. And they say they have no option but to consider all offers of accommodation, and they have received, and this includes hotels, office buildings, sports centres and even tented structures now. And there are now 118 hotels in Ireland being used to accommodate asylum seekers and refugees, with 29 hotels in Dublin being used as accommodation. And just to delve into this figure more, Pat, there are 833 hotels in Ireland. So one in seven hotels in the country now are being used to accommodate refugees and asylum seekers. And I asked the Taoiseach Micheál Martin, would the government be able to continue accommodating refugees and asylum seekers if these numbers keep continuing to enter the country?
What it reflects is a very disturbed world, a world where conflict, hunger and repressive regimes are too many. And, you know, I just back from the United Nations Security Council, both Security Council and UN last week. And it wasn't just about Ukraine, and Ukraine is, the worst humanitarian disaster on the continent of Europe since World War II. And sometimes people don't almost comprehend that. That's how bad it is. Millions and millions of people displaced. And then you look at the Sahel area, like the four governments there, four countries almost lacking authority in key areas of their own country, drought in the Horn of Africa, conflict in different countries around the Middle East, in some areas there. So what you're getting is a migration pull then. People want to leave areas of conflict, drought brought about by climate change. So it really is a reflection of where the world is today. That's the first point I would make. Secondly, it's far higher than what we would have anticipated. You recall the Catherine Day report was anticipating maybe 3,500 of asylum seekers per annum. That now looks like it could be closer to 15,000 by the end of this year. That's separate from 50,000 Ukrainians who've come into the country. So it is very, very challenging. We've never had to deal with such a high number in such a short space of time. And I pay tribute to the Irish people for being in a position to accommodate so many so quickly. But it is challenging and it is difficult, and it will remain difficult to the end of the year.
Now, given the numbers that are coming into the country, Barry, will the government have to maybe look at putting a cap on the number of people who are allowed to come here?
Well, there are a number of reasons why there's so many people applying for international protection. So firstly, the COVID-19 pandemic obviously stopped international travel for a prolonged period of time. And there has been a higher demand for international protection since travel restrictions resumed. Secondly, the war in Ukraine has also had an impact. Some EU countries, for example, Poland, Germany and the Czech Republic, have taken in hundreds of thousands of Ukrainian refugees, which has left them with a reduced capacity to support asylum seekers. As for what countries people are coming from, well, 21% of asylum seekers coming here this year have come from Georgia, so that's 2,059, while around 13% have come from Somalia, that's 1,315, and 11% have arrived from Algeria, that's just over 1,100. And today in the Irish Times, they're saying that 40% of people who arrive here now through Dublin Airport seeking international protection now don't have travel documents, which
indicates... What did they do? Destroy them?
Yeah, so a large number are destroying their travel documents before they reach immigration control in Dublin. Yet these people can't be turned away then. They'll have to be accommodated.
And yet they had to have travel documents to get on the plane.
Yeah, obviously you can't travel without a passport.
So between when they check in and when they get off the plane, they destroy their own travel documents. I mean, how is that acceptable to us?
Yeah, there probably should be more checks at immigration, or maybe they shouldn't let people through. But that's one of the reasons there's more and more people coming here. And I have been speaking to Enda O'Neill from the UNCHR, and I asked him, how does Ireland compare to other European countries when it comes to people arriving here seeking international protection and when it comes to accommodating asylum seekers?
We have seen a noticeable increase this year in the number of people coming to Ireland seeking asylum. We should remember, however, that we're coming from a very low base following 2 years where COVID resulted in quite severe travel restrictions at times. It was much more difficult for people to come to Ireland, and the numbers of people seeking asylum here were far lower as a result. It's also important to say that it's quite comparable to our European peers. So we're seeing an increase in the asylum numbers across Europe. Ireland so far this year has received approximately 1.6% the overall number of applications lodged in the EU, and that would be considered proportionate to our size. So it's quite a change in a short period of time, but as Minister McEntee said this week, it's probably here to stay.
As you say, and Ireland isn't unique here, but how does Ireland compare to other European countries when it comes to accommodating people who are seeking international protection? Because if an asylum seeker comes to Ireland, they're very likely to end up in a hotel.
We've seen a real deterioration in the situation for asylum seekers coming to Ireland in recent months. At times there's been no accommodation available, at others only ad hoc emergency accommodation, people having to sleep on the floor, sleeping on chairs. At the moment we have hundreds of people sleeping in tents. So overall, while the government's to be commended for its efforts to do that, it's been doing all it can to put a roof over people's head, it's becoming increasingly clear that the approach of relying on the private sector, on hotels, B&Bs, and other accommodation that it can procure, that this has reached its limits. So we'd like to see significant investment now by government to ensure that it has the capacity to meet the immediate shelter needs of arrivals and to provide safeguards for the protection of children and other vulnerable groups. Unit CR's called on the government to work with local authorities to speed up the refurbishment of vacant buildings around the country and to plan for the provision of reception in a much more adequate manner. That would include the fast-tracking of the plan in the government's white paper to build 6 new reception centres around the country.
Now, Barry, what are the public saying? Because you've been to Selbridge, where the Selbridge Manor Hotel is being used as a direct provision centre.
Yeah, Pat, and look, Enda O'Neill, the spokesperson for the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, there mentioned that we're over-reliant on the private sector here, and we are using, as I mentioned already, 118 hotels. And one of those hotels is the Selbridge Manor Hotel in County Kildare, which has been accommodated which has been used to accommodate asylum seekers since July. Now, I spoke to one person who's a resident in this hotel, and they told me there's over 500 asylum seekers living here. Now, I went to Selbridge and spoke to the people there, and the views of everyone I spoke to was unanimous. People told me we need to have a cap on the amount of people we have coming into the country. Others said we don't have the houses to accommodate these people and we're running out of hotels. While a lot of people were asking, what is the long-term plan here, given we have so many people coming into the country? And here's just some of what people had to say.
It's my opinion there should be a cap on it immediately. We're taking in far too many and we're not able to cater for them, either financially or accommodation-wise.
But many of these people are fleeing persecution.
That is a possibility, all right, but I mean, let some other countries take up the cause now. I think we've done our fair share. The fact is that we're short housing for our own people. We have a lot of homeless people at the moment on the streets and in sheltered accommodation. So I think it's time that we looked after our own for a change. The government are doing, in my opinion, what's keeping Europe happy.
No, I think they should put a cap on them. I don't mind them in here, but they definitely should put a cap on them. Definitely. Without a doubt, there should be a cap on them. There's too many come. They're way too many. Take them way too many. There's a lot, like.
What impact do you think it's having on our housing crisis?
That's a huge downfall, because we have our own people here that are homeless. You know what I mean?
Some people are going to say these people have to be accommodated somewhere.
Oh no, I do agree with them being accommodated, but just I think they're putting a bit too many in.
Taking on more than they can accommodate then?
Definitely, yeah.
People have to be checked, you know what I mean, that they have. They're not economic migrants, they're here for the right reasons, you know, because they are fleeing climate change and all the rest of it, you know. It's very problematic, all right, I know, and we're a very small country, but I suppose might come a time when we have to cap it, you know, because we're so small a country, we can't take everybody, you know. We just haven't got the housing, we haven't got the facilities, really, you know.
The people who've emigrated to this country, God help them, are coming from nothing. At least here, they may have something, they may get something in the future. But for those of us who are from this country, who've worked all our lives and pay taxes, there's nothing.
To take the people in, to bung them in the back end of Roscommon, the back end of Leitrim, the back end of everything, where there's no schools, no shops, no hospitals, nothing. Looks good on paper to all the European countries. Oh, good Ireland. No, catch us before the horse. We should say now, hold fire, get the housing crisis sorted, but that might give it a chance. But other countries will have to start pulling strings and getting these people as well. Like, we're letting too many in. And quite frankly, there is a percentage that are jumping on the bandwagon for the benefits that are in this country. Because you can come over, I'm not saying they're getting everything, but they get a hell of a lot. Yeah, I mean, okay, I'll put you this way. I don't have a house and I'm working 40 years.
Okay, I don't have a house, I'm working 40 years. People, I suppose, begrudging asylum seekers, particularly those that are kind of chancing their arm. You mentioned when that was playing, Barry, that Georgia is a safe country on the international list. So why are people leaving Georgia?
Well, I suppose they may have reasons against the government. They may claim political asylum. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's other reasons, but yeah, it is deemed safe on the international protection list.
And also this business, you don't get on an airplane in London or Manchester or whatever without showing your papers. So what the hell is going on there? Earlier we heard Enda O'Neill, a spokesperson for the United Nations High Commission, talking about the fast track building of 6 reception centres for asylum seekers. Where is the government with that process at the moment?
Yeah, so this was part of the white paper on direct provision. 6 state-owned reception and integration centres were to be built, which would accommodate 3,000 asylum seekers. However, not one brick has yet been laid, and it seems the department is relying on the private sector, like hotels and guest houses, more than ever to accommodate refugees and asylum seekers. And it's not only asylum seekers and refugees who are in this accommodation, Pat. There are also asylum seekers and refugees who have gained status now, who are still living in direct provision centres because there's such a lack of housing across the country. And many of these people who gain status now fear that they could be made homeless. And I've actually been speaking to a number of direct provision centre managers around the country. For example, at 2 centres in County Wicklow, there are 192 residents. And of these residents, 137 have gained status but continue to live in direct provision centres because they can't find accommodation. And I've been speaking to Sharon, who is originally from Zimbabwe. She was granted status in April, but she's finding it impossible to find housing, so she has had to remain in direct provision.
I got my status in April of this year. Then I was told I need to start looking for a house. And ever since then, I've been sending emails day in, day out with no response, nothing at all.
So it's virtually been impossible to find a house?
It's very impossible. You can't. It's like looking for a needle in a haystack. So it's difficult.
So you still live in a direct provision centre despite having status?
Yes, I'm still residing in a direct provision centre with my daughter. And we are living in one bedroom. So yeah, it's difficult because we know there are other people that want to use that space, but we can't move now because there's nothing out there. It is at the back of our minds to say, okay, we've got status and you're being told that you need to move, you need to get out and find a place. And it's quite concerning because you don't know where you're going to go. You end up going to be homeless. So it is quite a huge challenge that people in DP who've got their status are facing now.
When you see the numbers coming into the country, do you think the Irish government need to look at that? Because there's a chance here that the housing crisis could be exacerbated.
With the numbers coming in, yes, the Irish government needs to look at doing something about it. Of course, I know it's a countrywide issue when it comes to housing. Despite being asylum seekers or Irish nationals, the housing issue is a very big crisis that the governments need to act on it and do something about it.
With the numbers coming in, though, do you think, should there ever be a cap on asylum seekers coming to Ireland?
With the numbers, it's quite difficult to say there can be a cap because, you know, for a person to come and seek protection, it's not by choice. You know, and you find that maybe Ireland is the most the safest place that you can come to based on the fact that at the time they uphold human rights. So that's for me, on my own, I think it's a factor, it's a contributing factor that people might come here because they uphold the human rights.
Now, you mentioned, Barry, that so many people have status and presumably are going out to work. Do then they pay rent to the direct provision centre? Because they're now earning money and you'd expect them to pay rent as they might have to if they were in the private sector rental accommodation.
No, as far as I know, they wouldn't be paying rent in the direct provision centres. But again, a lot of these people I've spoke to have gained status are trying really, really hard to get out,
to get out of there. Who wants to live in one room like that? The long-term plan, though, even if those six centres were built accommodating 3,000 people, should that be, you know, used up by November if they were built tomorrow?
Yeah.
So what is the long-term situation? Is there going to be a cap?
No, I've been told there isn't going to be a cap. The government have said that they have international and EU obligations. And according to them, a cap isn't an option. As for what the long-term is, Pat here, well, the government are trying to find other options. But as far as I can see, I don't think there is a long-term plan. They want to find other options that are not hotels and guest houses. For example, I know that 48 apartments are going to be used to accommodate around 150 asylum seekers in Ballybuffet in County Donegal in the next few weeks, while the government have plans to build 500 modular homes in different parts of the country to accommodate Ukrainian refugees. But again, like you say, even if there was six reception centres plus the 500 modular homes, it still wouldn't be anywhere near enough. So the government are really, really struggling to find accommodation. And I asked Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman, what the long-term plan is.
It is really difficult right now in terms of our response to both Ukrainians and those in international protection. Our primary means of accommodating people are through hotels.
A total of 118 hotels are being used now as accommodation for refugees and asylum seekers. If my figures are correct, that's one in seven hotels in this country. There's only 830 hotels in Ireland. Is this a short-term solution or what's the long-term plan here? Because surely you can't keep using hotels.
It's a significant part of the I suppose the raw number of hotels. I think when you look at maybe beds, it's a smaller percentage of the overall beds, but that's it is significant, and I think it's recognition of the fact that we have an ongoing housing crisis in Ireland.
The housing crisis was here before these high numbers were coming into the country, but are the numbers that are coming in here not exacerbating the housing crisis now? Because we're not building houses.
Well, in fairness, we are building houses. We built 25,000 houses this year.
25,000 this year, but yet we have 54,000 plus Ukrainians coming in here, 10,000 people coming here as asylum seekers. So we're not building enough, and no, that's not including Irish people.
We're not building enough, and I think everyone in government accepts that, and that's why there's €4.5 billion provided for in 2023 to build houses.
A lot of people listening to this will be saying there needs to be a cap. We have nowhere to put those people. We don't have the houses. Can there ever be a cap, or will there ever be a cap on people who are coming into the country?
Well, we have international obligations and we have EU obligations, and our obligations under EU law in respect of Ukrainians is set out in the Temporary Protection Directive, and our obligations to those in international protection are also set out under international law. And I think it's fair to recognise that a number of European countries are struggling right now, and I think probably some are struggling to a greater extent than our own.
What is the long-term plan? Because, as I say, mathematically it just doesn't work out. We're going to run out of accommodation.
Well, look, we and I suppose my department is in the lead on this. My department will continue to source accommodation. I think we've been as realistic as we can in terms of the I suppose the standard of accommodation has dipped in certain circumstances because the needs are so great, and we've been very clear in our communication, particularly with the Ukrainian embassy, in terms of what we can provide is shelter and safety, but it's certainly not luxury by any means.
Okay, so no cap. Where will this all end? I mean, in terms of Georgians coming here, and we talked about why they'd be coming here in the first place, you'd imagine the place where they would all speak Russian, for example, other Russian-speaking countries, and I'm not talking about the Russian Federation, which might not be welcoming, might be the obvious place. How many Georgians do we have compared to other European countries?
Well, as I said earlier, there's over 2,200 Georgians that have arrived here this year, but I think Ireland is fourth in terms of EU, so there is three other EU countries where Georgians are going over Ireland, but yeah, we're one of the highest in Europe. And the long-term plan, if there's not going to be a cap, we do rely on the private sector. Like, there's a restaurant owner in Donegal here, Pat, who's just texted me saying he's not looking forward to the winter because the hotels near his restaurants are accommodating Ukrainians, so there's going to be no tourists coming to where he
is. No business for him.
During the winter. No business, higher bills. There is a knock-on effect here as well.
Yeah. Some of the texts coming in. I've never voted for any political party that has this on their party mandate. We need a referendum on the issue. It's a national disgrace, says Mark. Irish people are not allowed to say on immigration policy without being labelled far right. Your contributor stated that we've 1.6% of refugees in the EU, and this was proportionate to our population. Ireland's population is 1.1% of the EU, approximately a 50% difference. When will common sense prevail? Totally fed up with government policy and its dictatorial nature, why doesn't Ireland implement the immigration rules? That's from Helen in Dublin. I'm aware we have responsibilities with regard to immigration. My issue is, my son cannot afford to return to Ireland from Australia, and my daughter is considering emigration. Both have good jobs but don't qualify for public housing and are currently being priced out of the market. Barry, thank you very much for that report.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.